Super Bowls, they come and they go, and they come and they go. And nothing really changes, except there's a winner and a loser, and nobody really cares 5 years from now. Obviously, although some do. Well, obviously today we're going to talk about marriage, and marriage is a good thing. Oh, that was weak. That was weak. Marriage is a good thing. Amen. That's right. And so today we're going to have a little fun. It's going to be exciting. But marriage, however, is the most complex relationship on the planet. There is no greater complexity to this thing we call marriage. It's the most fulfilling and yet the most frustrating, the most desirable and yet the most destructive. It is the most rewarding and yet it's the most repulsive sometimes. It's the greatest picture of love and hatred at the same time sometimes. And you're like, what is about this marriage thing? Man, it is the epitome of selflessness and selfishness at the same time. We see it every day. We can't live with them. We can't live without them. And by the way, that's why we offer Prepare and Enrich. If you find yourself in this battle, Prepare and Enrich is designed to help you and to engage in what it means to have a healthy marriage. Marriage is a relationship where every emotion known to man exists. So whatever emotion God created, they're all in the world of marriage. I'm going to read to you some proverbs that talk about it, and I've even wrote my own proverbs. Okay, so I like writing things that I wrote. So please don't be offended if you don't like the Ron Hoffman version. Okay? Here's some proverbs. Let's just read through them. Some truth about marriage. Proverbs 31:10 says, an excellent wife, who could find? I did, praise God, and I'm sure you did too. So say amen, men. She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. What a beautiful picture of a wife. How about this? The significance of a husband is the respect of his wife. The security of a wife is the love of her husband. An understanding husband is a rare jewel, women. He honors and treats his wife as fine china with love and affection. So does God listens to his prayers. How about this one? Self-controlled husband speaks gently to his wife and turns away her frustration with him. A husband soon to be single stirs up anger with harsh words. A man of restraint controls his anger and his finances. A man who fears the Lord, loves his wife, and cherishes his children. A husband's greatest value is a gracious wife, his hidden treasure, a precious woman of God. Proverbs. There's lots of them. Some of them deal with husbands and wives, and there's some brutal honesty inside Proverbs. Proverbs 15:1 says, a soft answer turns away wrath, but harsh words stir up anger, husbands. How about this one, 21:19? It's better to live in a desert land than with a quarrelsome and fretful woman. How about Proverbs 15:2? The tongue of the wise commends knowledge, but the mouths of fools pour out folly. Men. Somebody said, why is Proverbs 31 written to women? And I've always said it's because the rest of the book is for men. Proverbs 19:14 says, a house and wealth are inherited from fathers, but a prudent wife is from the Lord. Proverbs 18:22 says, he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Proverbs 21:2 says, every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs his heart and gave him a wife. Come on. Proverbs 21:9 says this. Here's an ugly one. It's better to live in the corner of the housetop than in a house shared with a quarrelsome wife. That's what it says in 21:9, and it's so important for you to understand and know that. He wrote it again in Proverbs 25:24, the exact same verse. Husbands, Proverbs 1:7 says this, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, and fools despise wisdom and instruction. Paul said this about marriage. Though in 1 Corinthians 7:28, those who marry will have worldly trouble. Isn't that so encouraging? Thank you, Paul, for that great word of encouragement. Listen, with all we know, Why is marriage so difficult? You know what? It's obvious. Men are from Mars and women are from Venus. This is why. Men are waffles, women are spaghetti. They are fundamentally different. They think differently, and yet they are wonderfully different. And this is what God has shared with us. Wonderfully different. I'm sure everyone who is married has experienced marriage and felt the tension of marriage. And all the women are thinking, yes, he's sitting right next to me. And all the men are thinking, yes, she's sitting right next to me. The tension seems to be everywhere. The truth is this, you are absolutely correct. The problem is your husband. And the problem is your wife. The solution, however, is not that you take it upon yourself to change them. Let me say that again. The solution, however, is not for you to take on the responsibility to change them. The solution is much simpler than that. And that is what we're going to talk about today. Solutions. The solutions are obvious. The question is, are we willing to choose to remain oblivious, or are we willing to choose the obvious? That's going to be the challenge, the question today. For us to fully comprehend marriage, I mean, and we really can't, but for us to even begin to understand marriage, we have to go back to the beginning. We have to go back to the beginning because God created marriage for good. It is a good thing. The Bible says, in the beginning, God created the universe for himself to enjoy. He created all that is seen to express his infinite creativity and order and power and humor. That's why he created marriage. His infinite love, justice, his self-sustaining character and timeless existence. And then God created us. He creates the universe, and then he creates humanity, his image, the image in the midst of his creation. He created this to express his glory and his majesty. He created mankind for this goal. Notice Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27. You all know it, but I want you to pay attention to the details. Here's what it says. God created man in his own image. In his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. The image of God is man and woman, and we're gonna dive into that so much deeper in just a minute. I hope that you are ready. He says this, and God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. This is the purpose of marriage. A man and a woman created in the image of God to subdue and to rule the earth as the glory of God so that all will know who God is. The first step in revolutionizing our marriage to restore our relationships and our marriage, we must recognize that each of you are created in the image of God. I want you to be thinking of the image of God pretty much all day today. To reflect the glory of God and his character and the differences between us to the world. You see, marriage is a combination of two who become one, who represent God to the world in two completely different ways. And you and I need to understand that, and we're gonna dive into that seriously. Both were brought together for this complete image, this picture, this beauty. It's so profound. If you just stop right there and realize that's the value of your marriage is this picture, it would change everything you think about. And I hope that it will today as we break it down. The reason marriage cannot be between two men or two women is because one sex or the other is not the complete picture of who God is. It's not only two who love each other, just so you know. It's not just two who are committed to one another, just so you know. It's the act of uniting a man and a woman for a lifetime because it is a picture of the image of God, period. Listen, marriage requires both sexes. Anything other than that is simply not marriage. You can call it whatever you want, but saying it is marriage is almost, it is blasphemy. It is ridiculous. It is a redefinition of the word. Married couples, understand that no court, no public opinion, no policy, no politician can change this truth. This is not something that we say in condemnation. This is just the truth. Marriage was created from the beginning to be male, female, for the glory of God, to represent the image of God, and to make a difference in this world. Now, married couples, listen. Yeah. Listen. This is what's so cool. Recognizing the values of your differences is the picture of reflecting the whole image of God. Listen, just because you think, hey, I need to change that person, or I need to change that person, my wife or my husband, you need to grasp today that that's not what God is calling you to do. We must have this diversity to have this unity, this complexity to show the incomplete and full image of God. It will transform your marriage if you understand this. It will make things that are complex seem so, so simple. So for to understand this, we must know God. In order for us to understand the image of God, we must know God. We must know the picture of God. And so what do we know about God? We know this. We know that God is one. There are not a plethora of gods. There is one God. God is one. Deuteronomy 6:4 says this, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." The Lord is one. Marriage is a picture of one. And yet God has an essence, and there is distinctness in oneness. One God, Father, Son, and Spirit. So there's one God, and yet there's Father, Son, and Spirit. There is a diversity, and yet there is no contradiction. There is a complexity to God that that is a mystery to us, and rightfully so, we really don't understand it. But the picture of one God that is made up of a diverse God, which is Father, Son, and Spirit, making one image. How do we know this? Why do we even say there is more than just the one God idea in reality? Genesis 1:26 says this. It says, "And God said, let us," who is us? "Father, Son, and Spirit, make man in our image and after our likeness." This is important for you to grasp. To make man like or in the image of us, in order to express the fullness of his image on the earth. His distinctness, his unity, his oneness, and his diversity, it's all right there. The beauty of who God is. You see, God chose to create male and female and put them on this earth together to live as one. Let me clarify what I'm trying to say. The complexities of your marriage are caused by our lack of understanding and living out our purpose to be God's image as one. The diversity and the unity of the Godhead. This is what I'm telling you. The responsibility, the picture of who you are as a married couple is so significant, so incredibly important. It is the most important thing that you represent as a married couple, and that is the image of God. Genesis 1, 26 and 27, God reveals the image of God. But in chapter 2 of Genesis, God does an incredible thing for you and I. God takes the process in which he creates his image, and he spells it out for us in chapter 2. It is amazing to even think about. God's like, listen, in chapter 1, hey, I'm going to create my image, and it's going to be husband and wife, or male and female, and then it just goes on. And then in chapter 2, he says, no, let's just wind up and let everybody understand the magnitude of what I'm saying, how this works and how this plays out in marriage forever. It's amazing. Here we go. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 5, it says this. "When no bush of the field was yet in the land, and there was no small plant in the field that had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain on the land, and there was no man to work the ground. And a mist was going up from the land and was watering the whole face of the ground. Then the Lord God formed a man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living creature, the image of God." Amazing. Life did not evolve through a million transformations of a million things over a million years. God spoke it into existence. God created man in his own image, and then he created man's kingdom in chapter 2. He creates this beautiful garden, this wonderful place that is his domain, something that he will keep. He places two trees in the garden, the tree of life, of course we know, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And he told Adam not to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and he told him to work and keep the land. This is what his calling was. Remember, this is the peek inside the process of how God created his image. Don't lose sight of this. Don't get distracted on every other thing that's happening, although there's a lot happening in this chapter. At this point, just so you know, God is not finished making his image. The day has not ended when he says, this is very good. It hasn't happened yet. Listen, God says this as he's watching Adam, has created him. He says, listen, it's not good for man to be alone. It's not good for man to be alone. In the midst of creating the man in his image, he decides, listen, there's something wrong here. I'm not sure that I can be, you know, I don't want to put words in God's mouth, but it's like, you know, I think we can do better. I think we can do better. And so what does he do? Because God was not a being who was alone. God was the complete in community. He was complete in diversity. He was complete in all that is good, and yet he was one. He understood community. He understood relationship, and he wanted Adam to represent him, or man to represent his image as a relationship. And so God has Adam work part day. Hallelujah. He only had to work a half day that day. His job was to go out and check out the animals, give them some names, find out about them. And at the end of the day, God was not satisfied that any of them could be in relationship with man. And so what does God do? God does an amazing thing in verse 20. He says, but for Adam, there was not found a helper fit for him. There was no one that Adam was qualified to be a helper fit for Adam, to be in a relationship with him, to make this picture of who God is. And so God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man. And while he slept, he took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. And the man said, wow, woman. This is at last bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she has been taken out of man. The very name that we use to describe male and female is a picture of what this is, this unity. And the man shall live, man and wife were both naked. Listen, they were both naked and were not ashamed. Couples, listen, this is so beautiful. When we finish today, you're going to think this is such an amazing thing that God revealed to us about himself in this picture, this image called marriage. Marriage is the picture of unity and diversity and oneness of God. You do not want to forget it. Just as the Son in the Godhead is of the Father, he's the only begotten of the Father. He is the one and only Son of God, and yet diverse and distinct, and yet one with the Father. This picture of Christ and the Father, this unity that they have is just demonstrated here. How do we know this, that the Son is of God? John 16:28 says this about Jesus. I came forth from the Father and have come into the world again. I leave the world and I go to be with the Father. This picture of man and woman is going to be played out in this picture of the Father and the Son. And the Son is distinctly different in roles. Jesus has a different role than God the Father. It says this in John 14:28. You have heard me say, I am going away and coming back to you. If you love me, you would rejoice because I said, I am going to be with the Father. My Father is greater than I. Interesting. Yet the Father and the Son are one. We know this from John 10:30. It says this, I and my Father are one. Wow. Wait a second. We have a Father and the Son. One is from the other and yet one with the other and yet distinct in difference. Amazing. An amazing truth. Adam, listen, was created as the image of God and yet was lacking something. It was this picture of who God really was. And so God created community, diversity, and yet oneness through women. It's an incredibly wonderful thing. Woman is of Adam and yet distinctly different in role and yet one with him. She is of man, Genesis 1:23. Then the man said, this is at last, is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man, of man. And yet she is distinctly different in her role. But for Adam, there was not found a helper fit for him, a complete different role. As the son is distinct in his role. And yet one in picture of unity. Therefore the man shall leave his father and his mother and the two shall hold fast and they shall become one flesh. As the son is one with the father, so will the husband and wife be one together. This seems so fundamental, it's so obvious, and yet we fight against it so much. Genesis 2:25 says this, not only that, but there is no conflict in marriage. This was originally designed to be a conflict-free zone. Can you imagine that? Wow. Men and women were designed to be conflict-free. Notice, and the man and wife were both naked and not ashamed. There was nothing between the two of them. There was no shame. There was no embarrassment. There was no resentment. There was no selfishness. They were beautiful. The woman is as much of the image of God as man, yet different. Just as Christ is 100% God and yet different from the Father. This is the picture I need you to understand. It is obvious and yet so complex. What a beautiful reality that we don't recognize this full understanding. Just as the Father loves the Son, so man loves his wife. Just as Christ loves the church, so man loves his wife. This is the beauty of the simple truth found in a perfect relationship. Just as Christ submits to the Father and respects him, so the wife must submit and respect her husband. Just as the church submits and respects Christ, so the wife submits and respects her husband. Simple. God created, designed from the beginning, a picture of himself, and yet we want to fight so hard against it. A man and a woman reflecting all of the attributes of the image of God to the world as one in unity and diversity. Have you ever wondered why opposites attract? It doesn't matter what it is, opposites attract. Why? Because God wants the plethora of all the creativity of who he is to be the image of who he is. Because he is very complex. There is so much more to him than just one type of person. That's why his church is so beautiful and so diverse and yet all one together with one purpose and one role. Wow. Husbands, you exist to play your part as the image of God, as the husband. Woman, wives, you play your part to exist as the image of God, as wife. When couples embrace their roles, the image of God, in the image of God, it is marriage. The complex becomes simple. Let's not make it complicated. Sermon over. So why is marriage so difficult? It seems so obvious. We're created in the image of God. We love each other. We're all about oneness, reflecting God's glory. End of day. But for most of us, we should say, yeah. That seems simple, but there is so much more. It's found in the rest of the story, which is heavy. You see, the image of God was deceived into pursuing evil, and this is where everything went south. Both men and woman battling from the very beginning. The image of God, known as woman, failed to obey God and was deceived into not being her husband's helpmate, but became a hindrance, a stumbling block for him. She failed to be the image of God that God had created her to be. See, God had created her for this purpose, to be his helpmate, not a stumbling block, not a hindrance. But the image of God known as man failed miserably as well to obey God. He absolutely fell apart. They failed in his responsibility to love and care for God's creation. I mean, he was created to take care of God's creation. And here he does, he screws up immediately. Or we don't know how long. He's failed to be the image God had called him to be. Listen, both failed. Both failed in why they were created. Both failed in their existence on why they were supposed to be or how they were to be the image of God. Why is this so important? It's because it's so true. Husbands, what did they do? The husband, Adam, what is the first thing he does? He blames God. Then he blames his wife. But really, ultimately, he's blaming God. He says this in Genesis 3:12. The man said, "The woman you gave to be with me, she gave me that fruit, God. It's your fault. I told you to pick me a better suitor." Sound like some men today? The wife blamed the devil. Circumstances. The serpent deceived me, and I ate. Sounds so familiar. Nowadays, man continues to blame his wife and his work and anybody else he can, ultimately rejecting that his role as image of God is what he's failing to do. Oh, and the woman, man, her life continues to blame circumstances and emotions and everything else. Her frustration with her children and her husband just won't measure up. Ultimately, she is just rejecting her role as the image of God. There's something to that. There's something to this problem, obviously. You see, Adam and Eve's punishment for rejecting their original roles as picture of diversity and the oneness of God was more clarifying, became a more clarifying and difficult role that we're going to talk about here in just a minute. See, God requires respect and obedience and faith in our relationship with the Creator, and we're going to see that played out here. It would no longer be easy. Before, all they had to do is resist the fruit. Now, all of a sudden, I got to deal with my wife and I got to deal with my husband. Oh, my word, you just amped it up, God. This was the punishment. It would require both of them. Listen, it would require both to more fully surrender to God. This is what I want you to grasp. Marriage becomes easy when both fully surrender to God. And that's what God designed with sin. A requirement to fully surrender, to fully trust, to fully have faith in him. Today, we know that this is only done through the Spirit that dwells within us as Christians. If you're here today and you're not a believer, I can tell you your battle, your struggle to have a strong and healthy and vibrant marriage will be difficult without the Spirit. Can we embrace our role as image bearer in God and be beautiful, be this perfect, beautiful picture of marriage? Can we embrace this? Is it possible? Listen, in this curse that came upon man because of their disobedience of destroying this image, this role as a couple to be the image bearers of God, God does some very interesting things. You see, women are given a greater pain in childbirth. And all the men who want to have babies nowadays are insane. That is the dumbest thing I have ever heard in my life. That's all that needs to be said. It's crazy. Genesis 3:16 says this, the woman said, to the woman he says, "I will surely multiply your pain in childbirth. With pain you shall bring forth children." Most wives realize the pain is so significant that that's all they need to know about this verse. Like, hey, buddy, you don't have children, so suck it up. Do your part. Right? I mean, that's where women want to stop. And rightfully so. It's significant. As a matter of fact, it's a little overwhelming, just the thought of it. I've witnessed three children, and it's just overwhelming me, even as I speak. Most women stop here and fail to realize that there's another role change in their life. That wasn't previous, just so you know, wasn't in perfection. It is now the curse of women. Notice what it says. "And your desire shall be contrary to your husband, but he shall rule over you." Why do everybody want to just dismiss that verse? You want to know why there's conflict? Here we go. Houston, I think we have divined the obvious problem for women. I find it difficult to imagine that God has made them to be in this form, to have to struggle with this difficulty. They're going to be what? Their desires are going to be always contrary to their husband. And yet he's going to rule over them. Struggle. women are going to struggle to embrace this image. That's why the Spirit is needed. That's why a relentless sacrifice for God is going to be required. Listen, for women to embrace this image God has made her to be, she will have to live under the rule of her husband while at the same time having the desires that are contrary to him. This speaks volume. This is why we fight. Don't act so surprised. We're in battle from the very beginning. We fight over everything. We fight over sex, money, control, kids, opportunity, power, you name it, we fight. We just fight to fight sometimes. I mean, I could just be having a great day and my wife could just, she just knows how to do it. I have no idea where that conversation came, but it's on. Let's go. It's just the reality. It's the truth. This is the battle we fight. Why? Ladies, understand this. The reason why is because God ordained this on you. You will live contrary to your husband. Stop denying it. It's there. It's present. It is your burden to bear. It is what your cross is. It is a difficult, hard thing, and nobody is minimalizing it. Matter of fact, you may think it's not fair. And the world agrees with you that God is not fair. Matter of fact, the world is trying to transpose what a woman is so that they don't have to deal with their curse. They don't have to deal with their burden. They can make their load lighter, and I promise you, they're only dumping more of a load on your shoulders. The world doesn't want you to be a picture of the image of God. They want you to be a picture of something else in rebellion to God. The world does not have your best interest at heart. God does. You say, listen, I think that's hard. Ladies are like, man, that's just hard. It is hard. But you know what? God doesn't ask you to do anything that he has not done himself through Christ. Picture this. Christ lives a completely submissive life for the Father. He comes and he constantly is saying, I'm doing the will of my Father. I can only do the will of my Father. He is respectful. He is honoring. And he comes to the garden. And what does Christ say in Matthew 26 and verse 39? My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Whew. This picture of Christ is a picture of the struggle of a woman that must submit to her husband because it's the right thing to do, because that's the image of God that God wants her to present to the world, and yet it's real. And Christ himself struggled. Verse 42, he says this, and again, for the second time, he went away and prayed, and Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink of it, your will be done. Christ demonstrates that, hey, listen, I served you, I am of you. I am 100% the image of God. I am God. And yet at the same time, I have a distinctly different role. And my role is I'm going to have to pay the price on this cross, Lord, but I really don't want to. Is there any other way? And he submits to the Father. Wives, when you embrace your role as the image of God, you demonstrate the beauty of Christ, surrendering his will to the Father, even though he would rather have had another way. What beauty. And what benefit? Because if Christ refuses, we're not standing here today worshiping God. But he does. Listen, your complexities in marriage will simplify exponentially if you live out your calling to be the image of God in the face of your fleshly desires that you strive against with your husband. Ladies, I promise you, it is contrary to everything you believe. It's like loving your enemy. It is exactly like that. And yet at the same time, God has called you to it because it's beauty. And let me explain to you why. 1 Peter says this, chapter 3 and verse 3. Do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair and the putting on of gold jewelry for the clothing you wear. But let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. In God's sight is a reflection of his Son. Whew. For this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves by submitting to their own husbands. I know this word submit becomes this curse word in America, in the world today. But it's because people don't have a Christ-centered mindset. They don't have God's best interest at heart. They don't understand the Godhead in any way. You have a beautiful and wonderful role. Wives, this is how you receive the greatest reward in heaven for marriage. Embracing your call to live out the image of God in your life with love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, gentleness, kindness, self-control. This is the Spirit of God living within you in the context of what God would have you to do. And you can fight it if you want, but I promise you, you're choosing poorly. Now, husbands, don't celebrate your kingship too quickly. Husbands, don't celebrate your kingship too quickly. Let me tell you something. If you think that, you're a fool. Recognize this. Her new challenge is also a burden for you as well. You have just been dumped on because you failed in the garden. God's going to double up your trouble. You are now responsible to bear the image of God as the authority of God in your home, as Christ is to the church. Remember, marriage is a picture of the fullness of the image of God. 1 Corinthians 11:3 says this, but I want you to understand that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of his and the head of the wife is her husband, and the head of Christ is God. Listen, this responsibility is nothing to shake a stick at. It's not a walk in the park. No, this is a huge responsibility, and you men will give an account of all that you do as king. Amen. You will hold a higher price than your wife will hold. You can't say, well, you know, she did. No, no, no. You're king. You will stand before God in the way in which you represent Christ to her and your family. You are called to the weight of this responsibility. You will stand before God and give an account for your actions. In the midst of a wife who has been given the difficult task of having thoughts and desires contrary to your own because you failed in the garden to lead her. In other words, your curse is having to deal with a wife who has to struggle with being contrary to you with you all the time, and you're supposed to respond in the proper way. This is your burden, my friend. It is huge. It's not to be expressed with an iron fist, strong hand, frustration. Oh, to the contrary, men. Your burden is huge, and we have failed our women in it. It is our fault that we have this additional responsibility. It is our fault and our fault alone as men. We are to reflect the image of God in our role. One who's lowly in spirit, who is kind, gentle, patient, long-suffering, self-control, humble, meek, loving, self-sacrificing, gracious, thankful for the opportunity to be the image of God in the midst of the struggle with your wife and your children. You're supposed to rejoice. God, thank you for allowing me to reflect your image in this trying and difficult situation where my wife is struggling in her role as a woman. May I be an example of Christ. May I be an example of God's love. May I demonstrate this. Whoa, men. Marriage is wonderful when it is played out in the roles. Listen, men. Marriage is not sitting on the couch with a beer in hand, yelling at your wife to bring you the nachos. It's not. Sorry, I should have said Pepsi. My wife actually scratched that out and I wrote it back in. Men, that's not what God is talking about. You see, the world is painting a different image of who men are supposed to be because men have failed to be the image of God that God has called them to be. And because we have failed, the world has taken advantage of the picture. Listen, not only that, men, we are cursed with work. We're to be the authority of our home, but we all must carry the weight of work. What was once birthing forth in the world, what was once having no problem coming up, now would require effort. If we don't work, we don't eat. The food will not just appear on your table. You're going to have to go with blood, sweat, and tears. The government's job is not to pay you. Amen. Time out. Sorry. Husbands, listen to me very carefully and don't be offended. Oh, never mind. Well beyond that. Men, when you shove your curse on your beautiful wife, you're failing to be the image that God has given you. Women, when you fail and you want to push your burden onto your husband, you're failing as the image of God. There are so, the world is telling you you're equal in every way. That's just so untrue. Just like God the Father and God the Son are different, men and women are different. When men force women to work, we live in a society where you can't afford a house because two people have to work just to live in one. Do you understand the ramifications of a wife taking on the responsibility of paying the bills in the home? She takes on your curse and has to work through her curse and your curse at the same time. So what does she do? She pushes some of her curse onto your curse, and then you're both frustrated. And you can't figure out what's going on. Like somehow you decided all of a sudden you know how to feed a child and nurture children. Some of you are really good at that. I'm not. And most men are not. Matter of fact, the truth is this. As nurturing as I want to be, when Amberly starts crying, I say, Mom, I cannot keep her from crying. Within 10 seconds, that kid is silent. We cannot shove our burdens on one another. We are the image of God. Stop doing that to each other. Stop forcing that on each other. I'm not saying that men don't clean up around the house. I'm talking about their roles. Nurturers, lovers, take care, caretakers, helpmates. You're not your wife's helpmate. You're the man. Act like it. Love her. Listen, I got a whole series on men later on. Don't get too excited. Church, listen to me. I know this is difficult, and I know this is so politically incorrect. I'm going to hear about it all week. I'm looking forward to it. But listen. This image is not negative. This is beautiful. Husbands and wives, removing the complexities of the world to solve their marriage problems with a simple solution that is obvious. The question is whether we will be willing to remain oblivious or whether we will react responsibly like God has created us to do so. Listen, the obvious solution to the complexities of marriage is living out the role as the image God has made for you in marriage. It's that simple. Don't make it complex. Don't fight it. Submit to it. Embrace it. Love it. Let love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, and self-control rule your day. You will not lose if you choose this path. The two of you together as the diverse, beautiful image of God to the world. We are born again, children of God, the salt and the light and the love of God, the image of God that He's called you to be. Listen, I put this up here. Mountain City marriages. This is my vision. This is my dream for you. Mountain City marriages. Pursuing the image of God in marriage for the world to see and to want. What? Wouldn't that be amazing? If people came to Christ because two people loved themselves so much because they comprehended that they were the image of God and that they were the display of preciousness and holiness and gentleness and kindness and justice and love to the world, what would that look like, church? That would look like God's people should. That's what God's people should look like. It's obvious. It's obvious. Will you choose? Will you choose to accept the challenge? Go back to the beginning. Reflect on the tension in your home and ask yourself, am I truly being the image of God in my home? And I think you might be surprised. Now, some of you in the house today are single moms and single dads, and you're like, it's just not going to work. Listen, you can still play your part. Do not succumb to the world's pressures. You can still be the image of God your children need. And God will bring along someone beside you to fill in the gaps. That's what He did in my life, and He's done that in many people's lives. But for some of you here today, you're struggling because you don't know Jesus. You've never given your life to him. You don't have the spirit within you to make this marriage work in a thriving and successful relationship where you can both surrender to this image. And I'm here to tell you today, you can change that. Today, you can give your life to Christ. The Bible says that we're all sinners. We have all fallen short, and we know that's true. But it says, man, if we'll confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, believe in our heart that he has risen from the grave, that he will save us, grant us eternal life, and give us his spirit so that we can have the power to do the things that only the Spirit can do. If you're here today and you've never given your life to Christ, I ask you to do it today. It only requires a simple prayer, a conviction of the heart, a confession that you're a sinner, a declaration that he is Lord. You can do that right now in just a minute. We're going to have prayer time. And if you would like help with that, if you would like confidence in that, if you'd like to pray down here at the altar with somebody, I would love for you in just a minute to come forward. But for the rest of us, listen to me, church. This message was hard. I look around and I think of the people that missed this because of the snow and Super Bowl, and I think, I hope they're watching on television. This message is one of the hardest messages for me to live. I just want to be honest. It just is. I want to do my own thing. I want to go my own way. I want to be my own king. I don't want to submit to the king. Ladies, you're probably just the same. But the conflict is rising. The bad examples are everywhere. Let's change the tide. Let's move a different direction. Let's be men and women who love God, love others. Let's be men and women who embrace their role as image bearers and transform this city with the gospel.